You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another disappointed episode of the Assembly Call, as tonight your Indiana Hoosiers fall 64-62 in Evanston to the Northwestern Wildcats. A loss drops Indiana to 18-8 on the season and 9-6 in Big Ten play. Northwestern now in sole possession of second place. And, you know, look, obviously it's frustrating to lose a game like this. And to lose two to Northwestern, you know, despite how good Northwestern has been this season. But, you know, before we jump into analyzing this game and analyzing some of the frustrations, it is important to set the context, which is that, you know, when Indiana went on the road for this two-game road trip, Michigan, Northwestern, I think we all would have been happy to get one. Indiana did beat Michigan, and they darn near stole this one, too. So overall, a very up and down 80 minutes on the road for Indiana. But at the end of the day, you won one and almost won another one. And so I think it's important to frame the rest of the discussion that we're going to have tonight with that. And with that said, I'm Jared Morris. I'm here with Andy Bottoms and Ryan Phillips. And guys, let's start this show the way that we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And, you know, for me, I'm going right there to the end of the game. It's 62-60, Indiana defending, and Miller Kopp gets a steal on the inbounds, gets it into Trace Jackson Davis for the bucket. That put Indiana at 62-62. You know, you get one stop, and maybe you get another chance to come down and win the game, or it goes to overtime. And obviously, we know what happened there. You knew Northwestern was just going to let Boo Booey take it. He had been very successful in the second half doing that. But on this one, I thought Trey Galloway really D'd him up well. Boo Booey with an obvious push off that was not called, but credit to him for making the shot. And Northwestern ends up winning by two. But, you know, that play was just, you know, it kind of signified what Indiana did to get back in this game, which is they started making more hustle plays, Kopp especially, and they got the ball to Trace Jackson Davis. And Trace, who struggled in the first half, was able to really do it all in the second half, scoring, passing, and he freed himself up for a lob two possessions earlier that Jalen Hood-Schifino threw off the top of the backboard. But Trace was terrific in the second half. And, you know, we'll talk about the first half. Obviously, it's very concerning that Indiana dug themselves a hole that deep, but they were able to battle back and gave themselves a chance to win. And unfortunately, just weren't able to make the plays or get the calls at the end of the game that would have helped them complete the comeback. All right, let's talk about our presenting sponsor. Yes, our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their sixth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call, and their second as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And Home Field Apparel, you guys know by now what they do. They go and they pull old logos and mascots and brand marks out of the dustbin of history for different colleges and universities and breathe new life into them. And they put them on really comfortable materials, whether it's t-shirts, whether it's crew necks, whether it's hoodies. And good Lord, now they're getting into hats and quarter zips. They've really got it all going at Home Field Apparel. And what's cool is they're constantly doing refreshes. So they refreshed Indiana earlier this year. They're refreshing a bunch of other Big Ten schools. So you always have a reason to go back. And they're doing some pretty fun stuff with their app and with text messaging, where if you get on those lists, you can actually get a pretty good discount, sometimes even better discounts than we're able to give you here with our promo code HOME. But the bottom line is Home Field Apparel is the best apparel website for college sports fans. Whether you're buying something for yourself, buying gifts for others, they have something for everybody at Home Field Apparel. Go to the website, homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, to get 15% off. That's promo code HOME for 15% off. Wear one for the team. All right, well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. And Andy, we will start with you, your bottoms line on this Indiana loss.
hard to really know where to start, quite honestly. I mean, credit to the guys for really fighting back in the second half, but this was in a lot of ways a carbon copy of the first Northwestern game. IU mm-hmm. came out, turned the ball over, let Northwestern get comfortable offensively, and then things really spiraled from that point and dug themselves a huge hole and played incredibly hard to, you know, get back in the game and eventually tie it there at the end. I think they will lament a number of missed opportunities, even as well as they played offensively in the second half. There was a couple possessions down five that they One, they had a fast break. Another one, you know, turned the ball over or didn't get a good shot. You know, so even for the way that they were able to come back, I thought there were times that they, you know, just didn't take good shots, or the right guys weren't taking shots. And so I think they'll look back at that. Obviously, the other thing you look back at, it's easy to look at now, is the two technical fouls in the first half, one on the bench, one on Mike Woodson. You know, I don't know. You know, the challenge with the Woodson one is you touch the officials, so that's pretty much like you're going to get rung up for that.
Well, maybe the official should look at him when he's talking to him.
Well,
that's all he was asking for.
Maybe the official should look at the guy traveling right before the play. They got the bench upset.
Maybe the officials should open their eyes generally. I don't know.
Yeah. That's a lot to ask from Larry Serrano. I think so. That's where it's easy to look back and say you gave him 4 points. And it was, you know, something we've seen that go against IU earlier this year where, you know, Underwood got one and then nobody got called for a foul, you know, didn't get called for a foul forever. That is not how it worked out for IU. That did not really serve to motivate the team or really propel them back in the game in any way. And it ends up in a close game that those 4 points make a lot of difference that you gave up there. Probably fair to get a technical and give up two of them. Is there a way to, you know, not give up, you know, the other one? I don't really know. I just thought this game for IU was lost by the effort and the focus in the first half. The officials certainly did not help. There are a lot of, I mean, Trace gets walked out to the 3-point line with the guy's hand in his back and basically shoves him in the back to the point where he ends up touching the floor on multiple occasions, and it just doesn't matter. But at the same time, IU was able to make adjustments in the second half, and the way that they were using Trace and the post passing that they had in the second half, like could that have happened earlier? Race Thompson was out for a long time in the first half. I didn't really understand why. He was a guy who was getting open off the ball, and maybe there was something that could help stem the tide there. So obviously based on that rambling opening for me, a lot of different ways to go with how this game played out. And like I said, in the end, it looks a whole lot like the first game against Northwestern.
Ryan, what would you like to rant about this evening?
Sorry, I'm just answering people who want me to yell about the officials. I will say I've watched the replay a couple times. That was an incredibly obvious push off.
It's worse every time.
If you're going to make a call at the end of a game, that's the one you make, quite frankly. But with the way this game was called, the officials were never going to call that. They were intimidated by the crowd. They let Northwestern hammer Trace Jackson Davis all game. I mean, there were a number of times Robbie Hillman was like, yeah, that's a foul. I don't know why they're not, I don't know what he has to do to get a call. And Boo Booey just, look, I don't blame Boo Booey. That's a natural motion when you're trying to get room for a shot. I don't blame him, but I blame the officials for not calling it. He fully reached out and shoved Trey Galloway away from him. Galloway was in perfect position. But that's not why Indiana lost this game. I mean, yeah, that play, if you distill it down to that last couple minutes, that play is the thing that did it. But here's the lesson for Indiana from this one. Don't get down 21 points. Don't score whatever it was, 20 points in the first half. Make your adjustments sooner. And the adjustments were pretty obvious. It was, I know Mike Woodson loves to run his offense, throwing it to Trace Jackson Davis on the block and let him work. But if they're coming with an aggressive double team on a good defensive team that isn't going to make mistakes, it's going to be impossible to score out of that double team, no matter how good your All-American is. He might make that cross-court pass every once in a while, and you might get something out of it. He might be able to shovel to the other post guy if somebody's late on it. But Northwestern is a very disciplined defensive team. So where did things start to change? When they put Trace Jackson Davis in the middle of the defense. Makes him harder to trap. It's kind of a, wait, who's trapping? Who are we? What? And it makes puts the defense on its heels and let him attack from there. Turn him into a playmaker instead of the straight post up, and if you don't got it, well, kick it all the way across the floor. A couple times, Trace made bad passes on that. There's one he threw to Miller Kopp. Miller Kopp had nobody within 20 feet of him, and it went out of bounds because Miller Kopp had to jump so high he couldn't get it. You know, Miller Kopp's 4 inches taller. That's a wide open three, but he's not. So I just think that those adjustments were obvious to everybody watching the game, and they didn't come until the second half. And by that point, I don't care how good you are, or how great your effort is in the second half, you're walking the thinnest of tightropes to come back. And look, IU walked that tightrope for most of the game and brought it back and had a chance to win. That is on them. I appreciate the effort. I appreciate the adjustments. But at the same point, I mean, how many teams can come back from 21 points down and actually complete that comeback on the road? It's very difficult. Indiana buried itself in the first half. Again, kudos to everybody involved for the comeback. But you can't be shocked you lose that one, and you can't be upset with one call when you put yourself in that position by just not adjusting to what the game was giving you. You knew going in exactly what Northwestern was going to do. If you watch the Purdue game, it's exactly what they did to Zach Edey. It's exactly what they did to Trace the first time they played. And what was the issue the first time? They turned the ball over too much. Well, first half, turn the ball over a ton. Don't get enough shots up. Only took five three-pointers. I mean, that's the game where you got to run shooters off screens and get something else to take the pressure off Trace. They did that a little bit in the second half to get guys to knock down threes. So that's the lesson from this. It's not one call missed. The officials are terrible in this league. They're going to be terrible every game. Don't put yourself down 21 points and expect to win the game.
Yeah, well said. I mean, it was really just a game of missed opportunities for Indiana, and the officiating was bad. You know, there were some bad calls, you know, both ways. Trace had an obvious goaltend that didn't get called. The officiating was really bad, but Indiana lost this game, as you guys said, because I just thought we were way too casual in the first half, you know, and this team gets into some stretches like that, you know, where Jalen is too casual with his ball handling and Trace is a little too casual with his passing. And, you know, we saw that a lot, you know, and I kind of started wondering, you know, you've got Trace, who pretty much knows he's going to play every minute of the game. Jalen knows he's going to play pretty much every minute of the game.
Yeah.
And a lot of these guys are playing big minutes. And, you know, what has really struck me in both the Michigan and the Northwestern game is it kind of feels like a team that tries to, whether consciously or subconsciously, paces itself a little bit in the first half because they don't have quite the same fire and intensity early on. Now, in the second half, you know, they got it, and the defense was much better. You know, they're able to make the comeback against Michigan. They completed it. Tonight they didn't. But, you know, you do wonder if there's a little bit of that there. You know, the announcers tonight are even commenting, and people who were there live commenting just about kind of how tired Indiana looked in the first half. But then they snapped out of it and played with a lot more fire and effort in the second half. So they had it in them. But you do wonder, when guys have to play this many minutes, you're probably naturally going to pace yourself a little bit in the first half. And the problem is Northwestern's good enough to make you pay for it. And they did tonight.
It feels like the only guy who lately has been into the game in the first couple minutes, and I don't mean like not showing effort, but like has been warmed up and going and not easing his way into the game, has been Trace. And tonight, Trace couldn't ease himself into the game because they're double teaming him like crazy and all over him. And look, some of those are fouls. Like, he's, you know, on some of those passes, he's getting his arm hit and it causing a turnover and all that. I understand that. That's completely fair to complain about. But you got to have other guys ready to step up as soon as the ball goes up. And I'll say, I think I tweeted out, I'm like, the scheme is not helping them tonight. And what Northwestern does, and they're a very good defensive team, they find the holes in your scheme and they exploit them. And that's what they did in the first half. Basically, they said, we're not going to let Trace be superhuman. The rest of you have to beat us. And Indiana didn't do it. Indiana looked terrible offensively. And that's why, again, you've got to have a failsafe that's not Trace Jackson Davis just dominating one or two post players, or Jalen Huccifino hitting every pull-up jumper he takes. You've got to have something else to offer, because guess what? Teams are going to watch that first half. When they go to the tournament, teams are going to watch that first half and be like, that's what we're doing to them. You know, we may not be able to do as effectively as Northwestern, but we're going to make them uncomfortable and make other people beat us. And that's what they should do. That's what I'd do against Indiana, is double Trace, make him have to pass out of a double team across the defense, and make them run something else. Make them, instead of going to Trace on the block where he's most comfortable, make them give him the ball in the middle of the court, or make them run somebody off a double screen who doesn't usually score very much and have him beat us. I mean, that's going to be the recipe moving forward. And I'm surprised it really hasn't been necessarily after the first Northwestern game. Now, look, Trace had 24 rebounds in that, looked like a triple-double threat in that one, just like he did tonight. But that's just because of who he is. If he's not scoring 25 points a game and Jalen Huccifino's not adding 20, 25, Indiana's in trouble. I mean, that's the way it feels right now. It's on those two guys to carry the team. When Xavier Johnson comes back, maybe you get a little more of that. But the other guys have to step up, and they've got to be put in a position to succeed. And I don't think they always are.
Yeah, you know, and Andy, I really thought coming into this game, we knew with the way that Northwestern defended that Indiana was going to need to get some wing scoring. You know, we always need Jalen to get going, but we needed it from the supporting guys. To me, I thought if we could get at least 15 to 20 points from Miller Kopp, Trey Galloway, and Tamar Bates, that would put us in a good position. We lost by two. Those guys combined for 10. You know, Miller had an uncharacteristic shooting night, made the big one in the second half, but, you know, missed a couple in the first half, hit one off the backboard. you know, had several opportunities where it looked like his teammates and the guys on the bench were actually frustrated that he didn't shoot the ball. You know, and then, you know, Tamar struggled again just to get anything going. And I thought Trey Galloway played really well tonight, I thought. You know, and he gives you 7 points. And you can live with Trey Galloway's offensive output, given the defensive, you know, challenge that he had. He was able to get 7 points, 6 boards, 3 assists. Trey did his part. Indiana needed more from Miller and Tamar tonight from a scoring perspective. You know, and so not getting that really made this, you know, just a much tougher needle to thread for Indiana from an offensive perspective.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I just thought, I thought Kopp was pretty reticent to shoot after a while and ran himself into some tougher shots by not taking a 3-pointer and trying to attack a closeout and then attempting to take a runner going toward the hoop. I think both his 2-point shots were essentially the same scenario where you could make an argument he could have shot or take a 1-dribble pull up or something that's a better
Trace
shot
was visibly frustrated with him.
Yeah. And so that I think was a struggle. Certainly the crowd was giving it to him, to say the least, as far as that goes. I just thought Tamar continues to struggle on the road. Just did not. The first three takes it pretty early in the shot clock. It was halfway down. The other shot he took was, I think that was the one Robbie Hummel basically said, this better go in or whatever. It was just not a good shot. Just wasn't in the flow of the offense at all. And really, the way that Northwestern was playing, unless you were the guy opposite where you could throw a skip pass to him, you weren't really going to get super clean looks from three. Now, maybe that's a place you should have put Tamar. Who's to say? But he really continues to struggle to get any kind of rhythm on the road. And then I think played so poorly that Woodson basically was afraid to go back to the bench in the second half. And then somehow these guys, to your point, are summoning the energy to make the comeback. But my goodness, I mean, if this game goes to overtime, I'm not sure what's left in the tank for a lot of these guys. But I probably would have liked to find out, I guess, as opposed to the result that it was. But yeah, it just, you know, second straight game where you survive against Michigan when those two guys are doing the bulk of the scoring. And Race Thompson had a great game, was the beneficiary of the attention that they were given to Trace pretty much all of his baskets, save for, I think there was a ball they got him in transition where he got fouled and made 2 free throws in the first half, were all the result of Trace attracting the defensive attention, making some nice passes, and him being able to finish. So I thought that was a positive sign from him, particularly after being out. But yeah, to your point, the wing scoring was rough at best. And those guys also had some struggles on the defensive end, not necessarily to keep guys in front of them, but also just communication continues to be an issue with some of the backcourt players and being able to get out on shooters and where they need to be. And Kopp, quite honestly, has to shoot because he's a guy who's going to get attacked defensively. Multiple times Northwestern, you know, wanted to get buoy against him by running screens. And there was one where it was far enough out on the floor that he and Galloway would kind of keep switching back before they could do anything. Yeah. But that was really the exception. And, you know, for him, you know, he's going to be a guy who's attacked defensively. You've got to find ways to get him shots. And he's got to be confident to take the shots as well. That doesn't mean he didn't contribute at all in the game. I thought he actually did a decent job on Audige and some stretches,
especially in the second half.
Definitely. And obviously the steal at the end that tied it. It wasn't a case where he wasn't contributing at all, but it was definitely any game like this on the road, you need somebody to give you an unexpected lift. And I feel like this team's looking around for who that is and just not really able to find it more often than not on the road.
Yeah. Let me say this about Miller. You know, obviously the chants from the fans, we're not cool with. We're not cool when Indiana's fans do that to opponents. I think get more creative with your chants, please. Say something about Miller Cuff's TikTok. Say something stupid about his TikTok. You know,
yeah, chant like, pencil like, neck or something. That's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, like be creative. And I'll say and that goes for Indiana's fans too. Don't say that to Zach Edey either. That's just it's stupid. But let me say this about Kopp. He missed those first two shots early, and I think he kind of allowed himself to kind of get carried. I thought defensively the effort was there all night. He just was outmatched by Chase Audige. And here's the thing. In a normal circumstance, Xavier Johnson is on Boo Booey, Galloway is on Audige, and Miller Kopp doesn't have to take that assignment, you know, if you're healthy. And so that's not an ideal matchup for him. Indiana's going to keep running into not ideal matchups for him until they're fully healthy, if that happens this year. But I will say that Kopp made some plays for other people. He made some passes that were really nice. He had some hockey assists. He I thought defensively he had some good rebounds in the second half, certainly clearing things out. He hit that big shot late. He had one that, I mean, it was online. It was the angle he was taking it from, and it hit the backboard. And I think he kind of got a little cold after that, and I don't think he should have. I think he should have kept shooting. You're right. I think that two times he didn't shoot when he should have. And then there was another one he got where he was wide open, but he caught it. It was a bad pass from Trace. I mean, it was way too high, and he didn't pull it down to the right spot, and the closeout was there by that time, and he passed it up. And I think that was one of the ones where the bench was like, why didn't you shoot that? And he was out of rhythm, off balance. He was not going to shoot that. I do think there were two he should have pulled the trigger on, but they were hard closeouts. But I think at some point Miller Kopp needs to be able to shoot against the closeout in a situation like that. Indiana only hit three threes and still came back and tied it. You hit five, you win that game. You know, I mean, it's, you've got to get, when you,
we'll just
when
hit
you
four.
Are, yeah. Well, no, but I mean, you know, five, you feel like it's,
we only lost by two.
Yeah. Well, and you could say the technical fouls and all that too, but no, I do think that Indiana needs to be able to find shooters more often because they can shoot it. Trey Galloway made one, and that was the only one he shot, I think. Didn't he make his only shot? How do you not
find
him?
No, he missed another one.
Yeah, that was a corner one. I think he missed.
That's right. Yeah, he did. So, but I mean, 50%, you know, and I know he's not a high volume guy, but find him, you know, and so Indiana is, if you get down, you have to be able to hit threes to change momentum, and they just don't do that. It's not part of what they do. And I think it needs to be. And I think it's something that we need to harp on over the last part of last stretch of the season, because Indiana's got a very difficult schedule coming up. They need to be able to do that.
We need to harp on it. Should we talk about it more?
every show. I mean, the fan base, because there are people who are like, well, they're winning without hitting threes. And I'm like, yeah, for now. Like, it's, you know, yeah. I mean, look, they were able to beat Michigan with only shooting six threes. And I had somebody telling me like, see, they don't need to do it. And I'm like, what happens on a night?
I mean, there's two discussions. Like, one, the offense has gotten much better this year. Arguments there. It's a top 20 offense. The question is, how much better could it be?
Yes.
And do you need more ways to win? And I think that answer is emphatically yes. Look, man, when Trace and Jaylen are going, they're terrific. And sometimes having two, you know, NBA level players going is all you need to win a college basketball game. But that's not going to happen every game. And trying to put that kind of pressure on Jaylen isn't smart.
It's not fair to them.
Especially when you have guys who have demonstrated that they can make shots. So that's all we're saying. And I think tonight was a perfect example of it.
Let's be real. There are going to be games coming up with how many minutes those two guys are playing where they get worn down. It's going to happen, guys. And so you need to.
We just saw one.
Yeah. And so I'll also say, one last thing I'll say is, in that winning 8 of 9, what Mike Woodson's done with the team has been outstanding. And I know a lot of people think I hate Mike Woodson. That is not the case. I think he's done a very good job with the team. That doesn't mean I don't still think there are things that could be better with the offensive system. I think the defense is fantastic. In general, the defense rarely fails Indiana. There are stretches where they don't play well. They get caught up, whatever. That's momentum of a game. I think the defense in general is excellent. The offensive scheme has its holes, though. And in the first half, Northwestern exposed those holes, and other teams are going to exploit them. It's on Indiana to figure out how to get around that and how to plug those holes and plug those gaps. And that has to happen over the next few weeks.
Yep. All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming up here as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's 2-point loss to Northwestern, we'll point out tonight's meaningful moments you might have missed, and then we'll go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events,
You'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey guys, it's Gene Steratore, CBS officiating analyst and retired Big Ten basketball official. You know, I have never listened to the assembly call, and to be honest, I don't intend to. But if you listen, make sure you ignore anything Ryan says about officiating. He's really good from the seat of his pants, but I wouldn't trust him on the court with a whistle around his neck. Time has proven him wrong on virtually everything. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Gene. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with Ryan Phillips and Andy Bottoms, and we are breaking down Indiana's loss to Northwestern, and it is the top of segment two, so you know what that means. Meaningful moments that you might have missed. Yes, it is time for tonight's Meaningful Moments You Might Have Missed, brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. You know, Ryan, I think what you said earlier tonight was correct, that, you know, for as much as we want to talk about some of the missed opportunities in the second half, and there were several, which we'll get to here in a minute, and as much as, you know, I do think officiating is a storyline coming out of this game, Indiana shot itself in the foot and lost this game in the first half. Just way too many, you know, and it wasn't even as much missed opportunities. It's just not even giving yourself a chance to have the opportunity with some of the early turnovers. You know, they turned over on the first two possessions of the game, and just never able to get into rhythm. You know, but Andy, you know, one thing that really jumped out to me, you know, it's 35-17. And I mean, Northwestern has just owned the first half. And, you know, in the Michigan game, Indiana was able to make that run at the end of the first half and get a little momentum going into halftime. And Indiana had a couple of opportunities at the free throw line where they got two straight 1-on-1s and they missed the front end of both of them. Now, you know, look, on the night, you know, Indiana from the free throw line, they picked it up and they ended up 15 for 20. Northwestern goes 14 of 14 from the line, so they didn't miss any of their opportunities. But, you know, I just thought those two missed free throws were kind of indicative to me in the first half of just kind of a lack. You know, I don't know exactly what it was. Again, whether it's pacing themselves, lack of focus, you know, just not quite having that edge, whatever it was, they didn't have it. And so when the opportunities were there, they couldn't take them. And, you know, at times they weren't even giving themselves a chance because of miscommunications on defense or the turnovers. So was there anything else for you that kind of jumped out from the first half, you know, as being especially egregious? Or was it just one of those things where it was kind of the whole half was just bad, so there aren't any particular moments that stand out?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was. I had earmarked those missed front ends as well. Just as a way, I mean, Northwestern didn't really play that well toward the end of the first half. It was really, and they said this, you know, probably felt like they should have been up by 25. You know, they finally start calling some fouls at the end of the first half. You missed the front end twice. TJD had a miss. I think eventually somebody went 1-of-2 from the line. Huchifino airballed a wide open three. And just, you know, that was that part of the game. The turnovers, it's funny, if you look back, they had 5 of the 6 in the first half within the first basically 9 minutes, 9 minutes and change. And they only had one over the remainder of it. So they settled down with that, but they really struggled to get into any kind of rhythm offensively. And I think, you know, the turnovers on the first two possessions are like, I mean, you got to be kidding me. As you go out, and it kind of felt like that set the stage for this to be a, you know, feel like a repeat of the first game. And but yeah, I thought the free throws were big. It was a chance to see the ball go through the basket when you were really struggling to score offensively. You got them, and, you know, got the second foul on Adige and Bowie, I think, in that stretch as well. And can you capitalize on those things to at least get it down to, even if you got it to 15 at the half, right? And you know, luckily they made a nice push, you know, right away out of the gate in the first half, but they really didn't gain that much ground in the first 4 minute segment. It took a little bit to get to that, so I'm sure we'll hit some of the plays down the stretch. But yeah, the free throw stretch to me in that last 4 minute segment toward the end of the first half was a kind of the first of many missed opportunities to chip into the lead earlier than what they did and what they would eventually do in the second half.
Ryan, you know, the only thing that I actually came away from the first half impressed by, It wasn't much. I thought Malik Renew.
I look forward to hearing this because yeah. I couldn't think of anything.
No, literally the only thing I walked away from it, you know, when you saw how Northwestern was defending, you know, I got kind of nervous about how Malik would handle it because he's been a guy who's been a turnover machine. I thought he handled the double almost, you know, as well or better than Trace did in the first half. Yeah, in terms of being composed, making passes. We just didn't connect on any of the shots, but he found guys wide open. Yeah. And I thought, again, you know, just showed some growth in terms of being patient, you know, seeing the floor, and just being able to make some good passes. So just a hat tip to him for some better play in the first half.
Yeah, and I was worried about him handling the atmosphere too. I mean, he, you know, on the road has been up and down for him. I think
vaunted he's got, Northwestern atmosphere.
The atmosphere also of being a game where you're behind by that much. Guys try and rush. They try and do too much. You know, when it's calm and you're kind of in an even game, guys, you know, defer to other people instead of trying to make it all about themselves, especially as freshmen. You saw in the first half, Jalen was trying to do too much too. I was impressed with his ability to sort of stay within himself a little bit and find guys open. They also didn't double him as hard as they were doubling Trace, and it was a little bit delayed, so we had more of a chance to sort of scan the defense. So, but that helped him, and I think it made him more comfortable. I thought the pass in between to Trace at one point was really nice, but I was also like, maybe just bring it up a little bit so it's not at his ankle. But you know, Trace being Trace figured it out and scored it anyway. But he also took that ball off his hip too. I mean, he didn't handle it well, and it was not the best pass, but he pulled it. He had he was calm enough to grab it off his hip, settle himself, look, and then make the play. So I was impressed with him, with his ability to remain calm. Now, I mean, in a game like that, he against the guys he's playing against, he probably needs to find a way to score a little more. Yeah. And especially if the double's not coming as hard, maybe try and get there before. But I'd like to see them do what they do with Trace and try him at the high post. I know he's not a great ball handler. He has a tendency to travel before he dribbles, but try him out at the free throw line. And I think that when Indiana became the most effective was when they were doing that screen and the short roll with Trace that they did against Purdue that really worked and let him scan the floor and work from there. I'd like to see them try that with Malik a few times, maybe upcoming in a home game, because I think that he can handle that really well. He's good with the ball. As long as he just doesn't try and go too fast and take those steps before he dribbles, I think he can be solid from there as well.
He made the one really nice play at the end of the shot clock too, where he didn't panic and made a nice pass to Trace there. I thought for as rattled as everybody else seemed, it kind of speaks to the overall point you were making about him. For as rattled as everybody else seemed, even in that situation, shot clock running down, you would feel like his inclination would be just to try to throw the ball at the basket and get it up there, but really showed some poise and a nice pass to TJD in that situation as well.
A couple more moments, you know, as we look to the second half, Andy, you know, they showed a replay of this play when Indiana was down 51-44 and Trace has it over in the left corner, is basically falling out of bounds and throws that cross court pass. And what I loved about it is, you know, Trey Galloway didn't sit there and wait for the pass. He went and met it because the pass was a little bit off target. He goes and meets it.
A bad pass.
Yep, yeah. Goes and meets it and scores. That makes it 51-46. And it was a big momentum play. And I thought right after that, Indiana missed an opportunity to close the gap even more. You know, again, they eventually closed the gap and tied it at 62, but there were a lot of opportunities over the final 7-8 minutes where they could have maybe done that sooner. And then it doesn't all come down to just one play. And this was a great example of that. You know, the next possession, they get it out in transition. Trey gets it. He tried to throw it ahead to Scoop, and the pass was just too high, and Scoop didn't have a chance. Then the next possession, it was one of those where Miller passed up a three, drove, missed a floater. And you could see Trace telling him, like, Miller, shoot the ball. You know, just shoot that, because he's driving right into the teeth of the Northwestern defense.
He thought he was going to ball fake, get around a guy, and the defense came to him. You know, and it was, you know, I get it's an instinctive thing, but that's one of the ones he should have shot. I'll say this about that breakaway too. Trey Galloway is such a good finisher. Do not give that ball up. There wasn't great spacing. There wasn't great spacing. Scoop and Trace were too close together. The angle wasn't there for the pass. And I think just trying to be unselfish, he tries to go over the top. Also, he's a good teammate. Tamar hasn't got it going. Try and get him a bucket, you know, whatever. Yeah. No.
You got to drive, get fouled, get it up on the rim. Trace is there for a rebound.
Take that yourself or draw the defense and lay it to Trace right there as the trail. Those are the two options there. Trying to pitch it ahead was a bad, bad idea. And I think Trey knew it immediately when he threw it. And then, you know, Tamar hustled, tried to get it back in bounds, went right to Northwestern the other way. And that's just the kind of mistake in that situation. It's like, okay, you made a mistake, but it's those little mistakes stack up over time. Another one was, you know, Race got the ball in the post. double came and he tried to do a quick pass to Trace, who was slightly open, but Adige was diving right down and stole the ball. And it's
just, Adige did that a couple times down the stretch. Yeah. It was one that Trace tried to go to race on as well. And they had really started to key in on that, where if you make the skip pass, then at that point that they were trying to take away after you hit a couple threes, you maybe get a better shot in some of those scenarios. And and then you got the Huchifino lob that almost went over the backboard.
I don't know what
there at the end. I mean,
he had him too.
He had him.
He was wide open.
He had him beat.
I mean, that should be an automatic for those guys right now. I don't know if Jalen like tried to pull the pass back or what, but that thing almost went over. You're right.
I don't know, man. You know, they were playing with that different. They were playing with that different basketball. And I say that only to say we had some shots that uncharacteristically, like Jalen airballed that shot. You know, Miller hits the side of the backboard. There were some
Miller's
passes.
Miller's first two were
I kind of wonder if that, you know, messed with him a little bit. It's not an excuse because you should get that ball and practice with it. But there were just some weird things coming out of
and
the
again,
hands tonight.
That, if that lob is off by half a foot, you're like, yeah, maybe it's the ball. That was I mean, he was trying to throw an alley-oop to the guy in the fourth row. It was, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know how to explain it. That was about as off-target of an alley-oop as I've ever seen. You know, I'll tell you the other one, Andy. It's 58-51. And, you know, coming off of that stretch that Ryan just talked about, you know, Trace had that great block on Boo Boo. We go the other way. You know, Race turns it over. They end up hitting a shot. It's 58-51. So we took a timeout. And Trace basically just took over out of the timeout. You know, he scores at the end of the shot clock. Then Jalen found him, scored again. You know, and just, you know, to give credit to Trace, who, you know, again, this feels like the type of game that he really would have struggled to get in the flow as a freshman, sophomore, junior. And this year, he's just, you know, he's absorbing the frustration and just going out and producing anyway. And so for him to just stick with the game and end up being able to score 23 points and do what he was able to do offensively was really impressive. And coming out of that timeout, you know, and Robbie Hummel even mentioned it, it's like he's basically putting this team on his back. It's what he's been doing all season long. And shoot, you know, the other thing that really stood out to me after that possession where it was 56-51 and Race turned it over, I mean, Trace is down in a stance playing all-out defense on the perimeter, a guy who's played 40 minutes. You know, and that's where, you know, you didn't see that from him in the first half. So is this a guy who's kind of pacing himself, waiting for the end of the game? But I just thought that leadership by example, where it's like, we have got to get us. Now, we didn't. You know, they ended up, you know, getting a bucket in the lane. But I just thought it's one of those things that we're seeing from him, more vocal, you know, calling guys over, you know, being more demonstrative with his body language, playing defense like that. These are some of the things that he's doing this year that we haven't seen from him before. Yeah. And he, you know, again, did everything down the stretch to try and deliver a win, just didn't have enough other guys able to make plays on offense to complete it. But it certainly wasn't for him, you know, for his lack of trying you know, successful ability to get it done, really. So anyway, there were a lot of moments in there. Pick out whichever one you want to discuss.
Yeah, I think he had nine. Well, might have been trying to kind of look back now. I think he had 11 of IU's last 13, maybe.
Sounds about right. Who had the other one?
It was Huchifino hit that kind of floater.
Race had two free throws somewhere in there, late too.
And you know, they started to give Trace the ball out on the floor a little bit more. You know, as they did, and I think he was just more, you know, Hummel kind of basically talked about he was going into that spin almost immediately before the double could get there. And it wasn't that he didn't make good passes out of the double at times. He ended up with eight assists. He had more than half of IU's assists on the game. But really asserted himself and seemed to find an extra gear when it seemed like his tank was on empty there down the stretch, and seemed to be limping around a little bit at times. I didn't know if he kind of like stubbed his, you know, like hit his foot on somebody. That was one of the plays I thought he got hammered in the first half that they didn't call anything on. He kind of came up gimpy from that, but it didn't seem like a back injury. I don't know if he like rolled his ankle or something. I couldn't tell what it was, but he, you know, just at times would kind of hobble around a little bit and then
wear and tear, man,
go back out like nothing happened and keep playing. But I think that's your biggest concern going forward, is like, what is the sum total of all these minutes taking on him? And everything that's getting put on his plate right now. And you know, there's no breathers, down the end of the schedule for this team. So they got to figure out ways to try to steal him a little bit of time, but some of that starts with other guys producing. Although I actually thought, you know, given how Race played, and we talked about Renew playing well, probably an argument to be made. And then the second half, when you're really trying to make a comeback, maybe you can't live without Trace. But those were, you know, Renew was the lone bench guy who really did anything and seemed in the flow of the game.
Here's the funny thing. I liked what Renew did. They were minus 14 when he was in. That shocked the hell out of me to read.
He was in for that stretch in the first half because Race sat for a really, really long time.
Which I didn't get. I thought Race was playing some.
I didn't understand because he played relatively well. He and TJD have good chemistry on some of those high-low plays. And
TJD finds him.
Yeah, throw in the fact that the guy's coming off of a leg injury and maybe sitting on the bench for that period of time.
I wonder if it was a minutes thing with him and they were trying to save him for the second half.
It might be.
It's the only thing that makes sense, really.
I thought there was a stretch in the second half. He played really well and he sat down and came back, and I didn't think he was the same after that. And I do think with a leg injury and the other injury that happened, I don't know if they've announced it, but with the other, I won't be the one to announce it, but you know, he kind of had something wrong with him against Michigan. He's okay now, it seems, to play. It was game time decision because of it, but you know, maybe it is a minutes restriction, but also, you know, letting a guy cool off is never a good idea with any kind of injury. You know, if you're not warm, that's why you see guys on bikes during games and in other, you know, at other times, just to keep warm and keep going. So I don't know. I thought Race had his best game since he came back from the injury. I thought that what he was doing really well was being a complimentary piece. He wasn't trying to go one-on-one with people very often or anything like that. He was just waiting for the opportunities to come to him and finishing him off. He was also 5 of 6 from the line, made some key free throws, and was really good at being an outlet for TJD, and that's how he scored most of his points.
Guys, let's talk numbers here. You know, a few that jump out to me, Andy, you know, once again, you know, Indiana wins the free throw battle. They make 15. Northwestern only shoots 14. Indiana has really reversed that trend. You know, it was a bad trend there for a while where Indiana was really putting teams at the line, and we were winning games, but we were at a massive disadvantage free throw wise. And now I think this is the third or fourth straight game where we've done that, you know, and shooting 75% from the line, you'll take that. And so I thought Indiana did
Northwestern shot 100%, by the way.
Well, they did, but I mean, we still made more than they did. So that's the thing. Yeah. Yeah. You know, so that's on the good side. And obviously the field goal percentage, you know, Indiana was able, what did we shoot in the second half? We ended up shooting 67% from the field in the second half, you know, and held, you know, Northwestern ends up shooting much worse than that for the game. But the big one that stands out like a sore thumb is turnovers. Again, you know, Northwestern forces 13. We're only able to force 4. You know, when you look at, you know, kind of the, you know, the defensive disruption stats, Indiana has 2 blocks and 1 steal. And when Indiana's, you know, playing better defense, it's more blocks, they're getting more steals. And a big part of that was just, you know, the first half was just pretty casual defense. And, you know, they just weren't able to do enough in the second half. Those numbers stood out to me. What else stood out to you?
How about I didn't realize they shot this many. 8 of 33 from 3 for Northwestern.
Yeah, they only took 24 twos.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Were good looks too. We got kind of lucky that they shot
in, 3 of 15 in the second half for them. I will say we kept them off free throw line in the second half. They only had 2 free throws. I the turnover stat, I agree, Jared, stood out to me. But Indiana also out rebounded them. Was it 36-25? I mean, just crushed them on the boards. And it didn't seem like that early. It seemed like Northwestern was getting a lot of, they didn't really get a lot of offensive rebounds, but it seemed like on some key plays, they got offensive rebounds to extend plays. But they only had 5. And Indiana did a good job. But again, we'll highlight, we do it every game, but we highlight it. Only 11 threes shot, only made 3. I'm sorry. I just feel like you've got to make more threes if you want to win games on the road, especially at home when Trace is going to, you know, go off and your role players are going to play better. You can score from wherever, but I feel like on the road, especially when you get down, you got to make more than 3 threes to win a game.
Thank you, Andy. Andy, over to you.
I'm sorry. I thought you said me. I'm being distracted, so I apologize.
You know, what's funny about the turnovers is Northwestern only got 6 points off of them. So it wasn't like it led directly to points. The problem was, you know, early on, they kept IU from getting into a rhythm. And in the second half, when they turned the ball over 7 times, I mean, they scored 42 points in the second half, and that was with turning the ball over 7 times. Like, you were cooking offensively in the second half, and you just gave away 7 trips where, you know, you score on 2 of those, you win the game. And So that was where you had some of those that were just guys fumbling passes. There was the one from TJD early that went over Cop's head. There was another one that I think went through Race's hands, I want to say, yeah. Or maybe it was Race's yes. Race. One of them kind of went through their hands. We talked about the transition one when Galloway threw it away. We talked about the Huchefino pass off the top of the backboard. You just, as well as they got to be playing, for as bad as they were offensively in the first half, they were playing just as well in the second half. And to give away seven possessions is a big one. The other thing, you look at fast break points just as a means to discuss the tempo of the game. You know, against a team like Northwestern, the way they want to defend, I thought the first half was really played at the pace that Northwestern wanted.
Yep.
IU struggled to really do much in the half court. They weren't able to get TJD the ball where he could score. And in that middle stretch of the second half, they were gassed. IU was gassed and was just like limping to the under eight timeout. But
if they hadn't called a timeout earlier, I would have called one there. But they only had two left, though.
Yeah, they used two in the first half. Yeah, there was a stretch there where it was really up and down. Northwestern was taking some bad shots. You got Audiz trying to, you know, play the hero and make some crazy shots. And IU got the ball in transition and at least got them in some scramble situations. There was one, I thought Kopp was going to shoot a three, but one of the bigger guys on Northwestern was closing out on him. And so they ended up kind of pulling the ball out. But it was in the midst of that run where it was like, man, if you can get a good shot in this, in the run of play here, how do you, you know, just get a little bit more momentum? I thought that was when they played well. I just think it speaks to the tempo that most of the game was played at that really isn't one where IU wants it to be and is one that's going to make it tough for IU given the way that Northwestern defends.
What's really funny about this matchup is on paper, it's a really good matchup for Indiana. And Michigan was a terrible matchup for Indiana on paper, solely on paper. The difference is Northwestern sticks to its system, plays exceptionally hard, and is very disciplined defensively, which is the exact opposite of Michigan. And so a really disciplined team that is not a good matchup for Indiana has given Indiana fits, whereas the very athletic team that you would think would be the one to really make Indiana struggle was not. And so I think that's really interesting about these two games, these back-to-back games, is they played two completely different styles of team. Now, both have been close games, and both Indiana has trailed and come back in. It's just interesting that it seems like Northwestern gave Indiana way more trouble than
and
Michigan.
And ironically, Michigan's the only team Northwestern can't beat. They beat
it's them true.
Twice.
And you understand why, though, looking at them on paper, you're like, well, they got lottery picks, and they got all these athletic, tall guys. And Northwestern doesn't have much size. You know, they've got these guards who are playmakers, but an athletic guy can stick with them. I think if you have Xavier Johnson in both of these games against Northwestern, I think you win. A healthy Xavier Johnson, like fully healthy. I think you win both of them because it helps you defensively, helps your offense offensively, and gives you another weapon on the floor who can score and can get in the, you know, the one thing that I thought was missing from tonight's game was Trey Galloway attacking the middle of the floor and using his floater. I think he got one, but I don't know if it went in. I don't think so.
I think that was the first half and I don't think it went in.
Yeah. I don't think it went in. And I think that's something that could expose them is somebody getting into the middle of that defense when the double team can't come, even one of the guards. And, you know, that's not what Jalen tends to do. He had one late, but he tends to take two dribbles off of that screen and pull up from about 18, from about 17 feet. That's more his game. He's not really a get into the teeth of the defense and float it in over them. He goes off the glass if he's going to get in that deep. So that's something I think could have exploited it. And Xavier's really good at doing that. So I think that's how you beat them is you attack the middle of the floor with whether Trace or a guard or something and get things moving that way. And they just didn't have that tonight. And so I think that again, another missed opportunity to attack from that direction.
The only other number that I want to point out is in the second half, Northwestern only had one player who made more than one bucket, and that was Boo Booey. He went 5 for 8 from the field. Chase Audiz was 1 for 9. Robbie Barron, 1 for 5. As a team, they went 10 for 30. And really, you know, I just want to give Boo Booey credit. I thought he was terrific in the second half. Every time they needed a bucket, they would basically just clear out. And even against good defense, he found a way to score. Now, obviously, you know, he pushed off there at the end. We can call that veteran savvy or whatever you want to call it. But I thought tonight, you know, look, Jalen
made some of those shots he made, aside from the last one, some of those shots he made were just very tough. I mean, he just made them, you know,
that's what I mean.
It was, decent defense, just better offense.
He's a senior point guard that made plays down the stretch, you know, and he was able to outplay, you know, and I thought Jalen did a lot of good things in the second half. Boo Booey was just a little bit better. You know, but unfortunately, the way that, you know, the formula works for Indiana, they need Jalen to go win games like that, like he did against Michigan. You know, and so tonight, Chase Audige really came out scoring early. Indiana locked him up after that. He also maybe got a little shot happy and took a few bad shots. But Bowie was there at the end, but Northwestern needed it. And that's why having good experienced senior guards is so helpful. You know, and Indiana is missing its senior guard. I agree. I think this is another game where, Xavier Johnson's absence really stands out for Indiana. But credit to Northwestern, because those two guards have been such a big part of the reason why they're winning, and it was again tonight.
Well, especially against the ball pressure that they have, to really have another guy who is comfortable with the ball in his hands to allow you to give rest. I mean, realistically, the reason Jalen Hunter-Feener didn't go out is because I don't think anybody wants to imagine what this game would look like in a stretch with those guys pressuring the ball and him not being on the floor.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on Galloway, but I think being able to have him and Galloway on the floor for most of the game is was a must tonight. And the result of that means he can't sit down at all and logs another game with huge, huge minutes. So if nothing else, just missing a guy who can give some of those minutes as a competent ball handler, let alone what X brings on the defensive end.
Andy, just keep talking. I love it when, like, Ryan has something to say.
I'm just going to jump
at some point. You know, it's not worth it.
It's too late here. I can't.
No, I want to say this to everybody. Bowie and Audige, both seniors, finally. It seems like they've both been there for 20 years. The one problem is they both have a COVID year if they want to take it. So we might have to face them again. Wow. But my God, I really hope we don't. They always just kill IU, both of them.
They have, man. Credit to Northwestern. They've now won, 4 out of the last 5 against Indiana. Northwestern's the new Rutgers, in a sense. They've just really had Indiana's number. Did again tonight. You know, last Indiana loses by 1 at home, 2 tonight. You know, so both games close. Indiana almost scrambles back, but just unable to make the play. So,
and by the way,
Northwestern,
Jalen almost made that half quarter at the end.
He did.
I mean, that was inches away from going in. It wasn't one of those where it hits the bottom of the rim or the side. It was right on line and, like, yeah, very close.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. All right. Andy, do you want to do a final thought now, or do you want to do it on the other side of our break?
I can just do it now. It's been a long week. I'm glad my wife is home. She was taking care of her mother-in-law who had knee replacement. So I managed to keep both kids in school, alive, fed, everything. For
kids alive, house didn't burn down.
The better part of 5+ days. And
all good.
I am truly
well
exhausted.
Done.
I would not even really consider myself a single parent in that window. But for people who are single parents, I have no idea how you do it.
And your kids are older too.
Yeah.
They're very well behaved.
They have a lot more activities to get to and things like that. But anyway, so I'm calling it a night. I might be on doing the work tomorrow night, depending upon Kathy's status. So,
nice.
It's one of those where you like the effort in the second half and love that this team didn't give up and fought till the very end. What you hate is the fact they put themselves in that position. And I think that'll be, you know, probably the thing to remember about this game and the thing to remember about the first Northwestern game, quite honestly. And kind of thought coming in that the way they played in that game would, you know, they feel like they've been on this somewhat of a revenge tour of sorts where by beating some of the teams they've beaten. And it felt like, you know, this was setting up to be one that, all right, can you exercise the demons of a game that you played really poorly in early in the year? And they weren't able to do that for a variety of reasons. So I think that was disappointing. And for me, being able to go back home after that is going to be important. One, you really have to win against Illinois as you look forward to trying to get that double bye. You really got to win the home games that you've got left on the schedule. And can you find a way to get a split in the road games that you have? I think if you can do that, you feel pretty happy with how things go down the stretch. So they just need to bounce back. You know, this weekend, take care of business at home against Illinois, right the ship a little bit. And go back from there. So, you know, you're going to look up at the end of the season and you got 2 losses to Northwestern by 3 points. And it felt like in large portions of both those games, it wasn't that close. So it just something to learn from. And obviously, as you think of lingering questions, the biggest one is I just don't know how sustainable it is to continue playing some of these guys this many minutes. But the reality is other guys are being given a chance in some regard. I think we can argue whether they're being, you know, whether running stuff for him is a way to give them a better chance to be successful, but you're just not having enough other guys step up right now. It doesn't have to be the same guy every game, but, you know, living on can our two best players outscore or come close to outscoring the other team is a pretty dangerous proposition as you move forward. So got to figure out something with that. Maybe a home game is what something that gets Tamar going and gives him a chance to carry it on the road, but definitely got to get those guys some help at some point. It just can't be sustainable what they're doing right now. And it's admirable what they've done and how the team has played. And definitely a case of when you look back at this last stretch of basketball, trying not to jerk the wheel too much in one direction as you take a loss and don't play very well in doing it. So that's the other thing trying to keep in mind. And perhaps this run of play would suggest that it is sustainable to play that way, but I just don't know that in the long term that's really the case. So we'll see how it pans out, but you know, like this team's chances to bounce back on Saturday to refocus a little bit, good home crowd and noon start that Ryan is really excited about, I'm sure. So
thrilled.
Look forward to that one and get back on track from there, hopefully.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Andy. As he said, he may be on doing the work tomorrow night after IU plays Michigan. We will not be having assembly call radio. Again, women are playing. We're going to put the focus on them. So listen to doing the work after that game. Thanks, Andy.
All right. See you guys.
All righty. Coming up here on the assembly call, we're going to hand out our game balls and Hoosier Hustle Award. We'll discuss a few lingering questions, and then we will look ahead to what Indiana has coming up on Saturday against Illinois. That is next here on the assembly call. Stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Anthony Leal. What's the only thing better than being a hometown Hoosier? Having a friendly place to hang out online after IU games, no matter where in the world you may be. So join Jared, Andy, Ryan, and Coach right here after every IU basketball game.
That's right, Anthony. Thank you. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. You can catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game, no matter how early it starts, no matter how late it ends. You can catch us at our website, assemblycall.com. Make sure that you sign up for our free IU Hoops newsletter. It's join.assemblycall.com is the URL to sign up. That's join.assemblycall.com. All right. And because, Ryan, we are not doing a show tomorrow, we need to talk about our normal Assembly Call radio sponsor. We're going to talk about them tonight. And that is True Blood Real Estate. You've seen their signs at Assembly Hall. They are a new sponsor for our show, a new sponsor for Indiana. Jim Trueblood, who founded Trueblood Real Estate, a longtime friend of mine, a guy I went to middle school with. And he's been helping people in Indiana buy and sell properties since 2006. And starting this season, as I said, Trueblood Real Estate, the exclusive and official real estate partner of IU Athletics, with a team of talented agents to serve you in Bloomington and throughout Indiana. If you are looking to buy or sell real estate in Indiana, you need to experience the Trueblood Advantage. Go to TrueBloodRE.com to learn more. That's TrueBloodRE.com, and tell them the Assembly Call sent you. All righty. Well, Ryan, it is time for our game balls, and our game balls brought to you by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Allie and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com, and when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all of their testing services, 23 in honor of TJD. Let's talk more about TJD, because he's the clear game ball winner. What else is there to say about this young man that has just been phenomenal all season long?
Well, I want to read off his first half stats when they really weren't doing a lot to help him out with that double team. He had 5 points on three shots. He only got three shots up in the first half. Six rebounds, two assists, two turnovers, and one block. Second half, 18 points, six rebounds, two turnovers, one block in 20 minutes. Played the whole second half. Plus 17 in the second half for TJD. I know, flawed stat, whatever. But, I mean, it was pretty obvious. He was the guy for Indiana. And Indiana as a team, plus 17 in the second half.
Funny how that works when the guy plays all 20 minutes.
Yeah. And you know, when he's at his best, Indiana is largely unstoppable. So they need to put him in position to be at his best at all times. 23 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. He did have 4 turnovers, but a lot of those were because of the double team and just not, you know, being able to adjust to it right, not be having great outlets and not having guys moving as much. Played 39 minutes as well, minus 2, which was the final difference in the game. I don't know what more you could say about him. I mean, the numbers, the points weren't as high as we've seen from him in the past. He had 18 the first time against Northwestern. He clearly struggles against that defense a little bit, but he got it going enough in the second half that he found ways to make it happen. 7-11 from the field, 9-11 from the free throw line. You can't have a problem with that. The only question is, why didn't he have 15 shots? And that's the defense. I mean, it's all Northwestern's defense. They game plan to take his shots away. And so you got to do two things. You got to find ways to get him shots that aren't going to be back to the basket post moves, because that's exactly what Northwestern's taking away. He's too good at that. They're going to take that away. So you got to find him other ways to get him the ball in places he can do damage, or you got to get other guys to start hitting shots. And you saw it as soon as they hit a couple threes in a row, the double was a lot later coming to Trace, and they were doubling from different angles, and he was able to beat guys one-on-one and get some buckets. So it's about the scheme, you know, helping him out a little bit more in games where teams specifically game to take him away. And that's going to be something Indiana is going to have to adjust to going down the road. But I thought he fought through it as well as he could tonight. You're right. There was a little bit of, I think the look on his face in the first half wasn't, you know, lackadaisical or whatever. I think it was, oh, here we go again. Like, you know, against these guys, we're facing the exact same thing again. We gotta be better. And it looked like frustration more than anything else for me. And then he was a huge part of getting them going in the second half. And he was the leader from the front.
And I understand some of the frustration. You know,
I do too.
As we look back on the first half, you know, I've gotten my notes here. It was 25-12. We got it to Trace at the top of the key, let him drive. He got fouled, you know, avoided the double. And I think, you know, as you start to think back about that first half, look, obviously the players didn't execute. Like, some of the turnovers, that's not Mike Woodson making lackadaisical passes.
No, of course
that's
not.
That's Jalen Huchefino with a bad pass, Trace with a bad pass. Like, that stuff you just can't do.
Bad plays in transition, that's not on the coach.
But, you know, the more I think about the first half, and kind of the theme that we've talked about is this staff is good at making adjustments. It just feels like they come too late.
I would agree.
I kind 100%. Of don't understand why we didn't play in the first half like we did in the second half and move Trace around more. You know, the big difference between Trace and Zach Edey is, you know, Zach Edey has one way to beat you, and he's amazingly efficient at it, but you can't do a lot of different things with him. With Trace, you can. You can get him the ball in different places. You know, you can do different things. And so I think as we think about the first half, you kind of wonder, if you change some of that stuff up, does it get him a little bit more juiced up? Does it get the offense going a little bit more?
It's a very obvious
adjustment. Like, it just felt like we were happy to settle with playing into their hands in the first half. And I don't, it's not like what they did was shocking. So I don't quite understand why it took us so long to to adjust
exact,
to it.
Exact same thing they've done to us the last couple times we played them, exactly what they did to Northwest or to Purdue, I mean, over the weekend. You saw it. I mean, you watched them and you were like, what did you see from Northwestern? They high pressured the young guards and they doubled Edie hard. That's exactly what they did to Indiana tonight. And so I agree. Like, I again, you have to give the staff credit for making adjustments at halftime, but those adjustments could have come at the under eight timeout. They could have come at the under four timeout. They could have come at the under 12 timeout where things weren't working well. Get Trace moving, put him in the middle of the floor, something we've asked for all year. Put him in the middle of the floor and let him work. And maybe it doesn't work. Maybe that doesn't work in the first half too, but at least you're trying something different. They ran some pick and roll a little bit after the first stretch where they weren't doing so well, but then they kind of went back to the straight post-ups. And that's it. You're playing right. I tweeted out, you're playing right into their hands by throwing it straight into the post and having Trace basically turn towards the basket right into a double team. And the only option is to go over their hands across the court. Now that's open, but it's not an easy pass because you're having to go over a tall guy straight to a corner. And by the way, they've got a guy kind of ducking down, trying to play center field to try and steal that pass if you don't throw it perfectly. So I just think the adjustment needs to come earlier. Again, credit to the coaching staff for making the adjustments late. I thought he drew up some good stuff in the second half. I thought that the second half of the second half, when they slowed down, they again started attacking them a little bit differently, started making some adjustments, but it just came way too late, and that they need to be proactive with that stuff. Also, some people are upset about Indiana getting those technicals. I have no problem with Mike Woodson getting that.
No problem
technical.
With that at all. That is a non-issue. A total
and the technical from the bench, all they did, you could see it. All they did was yell that they missed a travel that was very obvious. I mean, it was obvious from me watching on television from that angle, and on the floor, it had to be very obvious. Not only did he travel going into his jump stop, he dragged his pivot foot again, and they screamed about it, got a tech, and Woodson was absolutely right to basically say, hey, look, you missed a call. Don't be mad at us for correcting you on a bad, bad call. Yeah. And yeah, he touched the official because the guy turned his back on him and would not listen to him talking, which is disrespectful. And he should have listened to him. You already called the technical. You need to let the coach vent a little bit. Any other coach gets the benefit of the doubt there. Agreed.
He Woodson gets maybe no benefit of the doubt. And we've talked about it many times why that might be, but.
And I have tonight. Zero problem with that four-shot window there because I thought that the bench was absolutely right to complain, and I think Mike Woodson was absolutely right to be furious about the technical. So
the call was so bad, Armand Hill jumped up. Like, I mean, Armand Hill doesn't show much emotion on the bench. He got up and was yelling. So, no, I have – look, I mean, obviously, in a two-point game, you can look back on it and say, ooh, without those, it was early in the game. Plus, you're kind of trying to spark your team. You know, yeah, I think what was the
score? There was nothing else going on. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Indiana was not playing well. It was 21-12. And the first possession after that, we forced a shot clock violation. Now, they, of course, ended up going on a big run after that. Yep. No, I have no issue because the officiating for the first 10 minutes was terrible. You had to make some kind of point. You know, and unfortunately, just Indiana has been behind the eight ball. We've talked about the reasons why. I think Woody has brought some of this on himself. So, you know, but you call a technical, the guy should at least listen to him, you know, instead of just walking away. I mean, the whole situation was very frustrating, but I am not looking on that with any regret or thinking that, you know, cost Indiana the game at all. I think at that point you had to do something, and they did it, and, you know, whatever. That was just a very frustrating portion of the game. That is 15 game balls now for Trace Jackson Davis, which actually seems somehow like not enough. It feels like he has more, but the game balls are much more spread around early in the season. Yeah. Now for the past month, it's kind of like the Big Ten Player of the Week. It's just Trace. Okay, there's our game ball. Let's talk now about the Hoosier Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
Thank you, Anthony. Much appreciated. Hoosier Hustle Award time. Ryan, who gets your Hustle Award tonight?
Well, you got to go to me first. This is a tough one.
You're the only other one here.
Let me see. Hold on. Well, you could have given it to yourself.
Okay, fine. I'll go. I know who I'm picking.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'm giving it to Trey Galloway. I thought Trey played really good defense all night long. You know, again, you know, Trace plays 39 minutes. Jalen Hinchafino plays 40. Trey Galloway, 37 minutes. I mean, didn't get much rest. And what I really liked from Trey tonight, you know, Trace did not have his typical rebounding game. He only had 10, you know, which isn't
only
as much
10.
As only 10. And I thought Trey really stepped up on the glass, getting 6 rebounds, which was nice. But, you know, I just thought, again, you can kind of always default to Trey as a hustle guy. But I just thought he made a lot of big plays for Indiana. You know, there were several, he didn't get, you know, blocks and steals, but he had several deflections that just kind of took Northwestern out of what they were trying to do. You know, he would kind of stunt at a guy a couple times and act like he was going to go for the steal, and that got him out a little bit. So it was just little Trey Galloway stuff all night long. And yeah, you know, he made some mistakes in transition and some of those things, but I thought in a game where, you know, I didn't think it was really 40 minutes of the kind of all-out effort that you want from Indiana. They really, again, kind of paced themselves into the second half. I thought Trey was at least given it for most of his time out there.
Yeah, he was on my list for that. I'm looking at stats. I do think this is – the plus-minus from this game is wacky.
Stop looking at plus-minus.
I know. It's just funny.
Stop looking at it. Stop talking about it.
Like, Race was only a -1 in the first half, and everybody else is like -19, -17. But, now, you know, I like what Trey did. Boo-Boo, he did get 21, and Trey was guarding him for most of the night, but I thought it wasn't an effort thing. I thought that the guy just made a tough shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just made tough shots repeatedly, and he put him into those tough situations. So I'm good with giving it to Trey. You know, the 6 rebounds, 3 assists, only 1 turnover. But yeah, he played 37 minutes is tough. I would give it to Jalen. I thought Jalen's first half was not good on either end, really. I thought he made some mistakes defensively. Obviously, offensively, he was trying to force some things, probably because Indiana wasn't doing a whole lot. So I think he was 3 of 10 from the field. I thought a lot of his pull-ups were forced. But, you know, I think Trey was out there. And, you know, the reason I'm considering Jalen is he played 40 minutes. But I do think that Trey is the guy you got to give it to here. Also a sort of head nod to Race Thompson, who I thought played really well in his 25 minutes. Probably, I would say he played really well for about 18 of that 25 or 19 of that 25. I just think he struggled when he came back at the end. Interesting thing is the starters were on the floor for the last 8 minutes and 12 seconds of the game. No substitutions after that at all. So that's unusual, to say the least. But
he has the guys he trusts, man.
But who are you going to go with? Yeah, I mean, Jordan Geronimo only played 4 minutes, which, yeah, you know, was very strange. But, you know, tomorrow,
you know, in a game like this, though, where you're so worried about turnovers and that kind of ball pressure, it's not really a great game for Jordan.
No, it's not at all. It's just odd that they didn't even try and steal minutes with him. Like, they played 8 guys, and Tamar Bates had 17 minutes. Jordan Geronimo had 4, and Malik Renew had 11, and you only got 3 points out of your bench. Like, that was all starters all night. And so it was on the starters when they fell behind, and it was on the starters when they came back. There was no spark from anywhere. It was just, you know, coming off the bench to change momentum or anything like that. It was just those starters had a bad first half and a good second half.
And I'll toss in an honorable mention for Miller Kopp too, who I thought in the second half played his butt off defensively and just had a couple of those Miller Kopp plays that he always seems to have in the last 10 minutes of a game. You know, he shot faked and lost the ball, but then dove to save the possession and ended up with Trace free throws, his steal there toward the end. You know, he made some good plays down the stretch. So, but Trey Galloway gets it. That's his 6th. He leads Indiana. Let's talk lingering questions. Andy's lingering question was very fair. Probably the number one question coming out of this game: how sustainable is this? Because, you know, playing in the Big Ten against teams of this caliber, like, Indiana's good and they can make comebacks, but you can't pace yourself for 20 minutes and then come out and just expect to win it in the second half. And so, you know, this is a question to be answered. You know, if Xavier Johnson can come back, I think Don Fisher said in the pregame that he was still a week or two away, you know, but we're nearing it. I mean, he's going to get back on the court. What does that look like? How much pressure is he able to take off? I mean, there's a whole host of questions there. But, you know, I think we are all rightly worried about, you know, what's going to happen. I mean, Trace has been playing at such a high level. If he's not superhuman, you know, we're not winning some of these games.
Yeah.
And so, it's easy. And I know, Woody, after the last game said, look, I had back surgery. I came back and I played 40 minutes a game after that. He's a young kid. He'll have plenty of time to rest. He is right about that, but he's also not a machine.
You're asking
a lot on both ends from Trace. So, it's something to monitor. I mean, I think right now with the formula this team has, they kind of have to play this way. So I get it, when every win is so important, but what is this going to look like here in March? So that is a lingering question. The other one I want to talk about, because we're not going to have any answers here and nothing's going to change with it.
Let me just comment on that. The Woodson statement about I played 40 minutes. Like, we're not back in the day, Mike. They play more games now. They travel more. It's not the same. And I hate when guys do that. Like, I love what Woodson's done with his team. I'll reiterate it again, but I hate that mentality. It's like, you know what? You put too much on these guys, they're going to break eventually. And I don't mean like their spirit. I mean like physically, they're going to break. We saw it at times last year. Race Thompson played too many minutes last year. And you saw it at the end of the season. What happened to him? He fell off a cliff. Trace struggled for a while and got a second wind and was good. But these guys, you cannot run them down forever and expect peak performance. You've seen at the end of a couple of these games, Trace Jackson Davis having no legs from the free throw line. A couple times it's happened over the last month. Now they've won those games. They've tended to win those games, but you can see it wear guys down. And so I don't think you can just say, nah, you can play 40 minutes. He'll be fine. That stuff builds up over time and it sneaks up on you when you most need it, when you need it in a game like this. I didn't see it tonight. I saw them all very tired, but Northwestern was real tired too. I didn't see any specific.
No, we looked more tired in the first half than we did in the second half. That's
I would
the problem.
Agree. And I think that stuff wears you down. So I do think that you can't just rely on, oh, they're young, they'll be fine. Like, man, he's doing so much for you on both ends, and so is Jalen, that eventually that stuff will come back to bite you. And so, obviously, they want to get X back. That will take some of the pressure off Jalen. In the post, Malik's got to step up and play more. Jordan's got to step up and play more. Race has to be healthy and play a little bit more to give this guy some breaks where they can, because all these games in the Big Ten are going to be tough down the stretch. Indiana has a very difficult schedule. They had the hardest schedule in the Big Ten before the season, and then all six of the teams they only play once are at the wound up at the bottom of the conference. So this is going to be a real rough stretch, and they need other guys to step up and play some minutes, and they need to be willing to let Trace sit some, especially if they get up, say, 10 in the first half or something like that. Give him 5 minutes here or there. Try and get him healthy. Try and get him, rested, and it'll happen at some point, I think, but that definitely needs to be a mentality moving forward, is to find spots for him to rest. He did get 1 minute off tonight, and it was like, oh, he got a rest. Good for him.
Like 37 seconds.
but at the same time, do the old thing that the Lakers would do with Shaq. Sit him, pull him out 30 seconds before the next media timeout. Get him at what's actually game-wise, a minute of rest, but it's actually about 10 minutes or something like that. Like, you got to make those adjustments and get him off the floor.
Yeah. And Malik, I think, is playing better to be able to anchor things for a few minutes, and maybe you play a little differently and go small with shooters around him and, just try and do something different. I agree. I will say, though, it is good that Mike Woodson has that story to draw on, because he can certainly speak with authority when he's telling a guy to play that many minutes. And so it is a double-edged sword. I agree with you. I think you got to be careful putting this much on a guy, but knowing that your coach did it, is at least helpful if you're going through that. The lingering question that I want to discuss, though, and again, we don't have time tonight to solve it, but, I think we all believe in Tamar Bates' talent, and we've seen his shooting ability, and his shooting numbers are still good, but boy, he has really struggled, now, ever since the Michigan State game. He hasn't been in double figures since then. He's had a lot of 0 point games. He really seems out of sync offensively, where he looks like a guy who knows he's expected to score, tries to get in there to do it, but just takes shots that are kind of outside of the flow of the offense and doesn't really seem to get a lot of shots in the flow of the offense now. And so, we've talked about, hey, is this the kind of guy that you would want to run stuff for when he comes in? We agree that it is. It doesn't seem like that's happening. And so I guess my question is, how long do you let Tamar play 17 minutes and score 0 points when that is the number one thing he's giving you? And at some point, do you say, well, shoot, you know, let's let Caleb take some of those minutes and at least he'll get rebounds and get some hustle points. You know, I don't think you put CJ in there yet. I don't think he's, you know, proven enough that that he's quite ready, especially with his shots. Yeah. That's what I mean. You've got to get production out of that spot. And right now, Tamar's not giving you production. Now, I think given his shooting percentages, I think if you can find more ways to get him shots in the flow of the offense, to me, that's the best path forward. But if you're not going to do that and he's going to continue to struggle, it seems like at some point you might need to do something else with those minutes because this has been an extended slump for him now. So I don't have the answer here. That's why I think it's a lingering question. But, you know, that's 17 minutes where you get 0 points out of a guy who's supposed to score and you lose by two. You know, these margins are small in Big Ten play. So it's an issue that has to get solved, whether you solve it with getting him going or giving those minutes to somebody else. They've got to get more production from those minutes.
Yeah, I think I don't know. I think that Tamar's upside is such that you need to just bank on him figuring it out. I really do. And at home, we've seen him play well, not necessarily recently, but at home, we've seen him play well. I thought he played well against Purdue and only hit the one shot. I'm pretty sure he only had the 1-3.
Yeah. Or, he looked like a guy who was ready to explode that game and then never got
the shots. I know. And he had three free throws too. But
yeah.
I do think that you have to bank on him figuring it out on the road. You really do, because you need that scoring punch.
I agree.
And so I think you have to keep going, especially because there's not an easy option off the bench. You know, CJ Gunn, again, early in the season, looked like he might be that guy. He's shooting 8% from three, you know, and defense isn't your problem. And he's a very good defender, but defense isn't your problem right now. It's getting.
And defenses do have to respect Tamar, and they do. Oh, I mean, he provides spacing when he's out there. But
so, yeah, I think. Yeah, I do think you need to keep riding with him. And hopefully against Illinois, maybe we see an explosion. And maybe that gives him the confidence to keep going. Because, again, also next year, you're going to need Tamar Bates to be special. And you got to get him to a point where he feels that way.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, that is the best answer. And so hopefully Indiana's able to figure something out there. All right, let's look ahead here. We don't have Andy here to give us a scouting report or coach to talk for 10 minutes about how great Brad Underwood is. We've seen Illinois before. They are currently ranked 24th in KenPom. Indiana projected to win 75-71. We all remember the game up there where Indiana won 80-65 and played terrific. You know, that's the interesting thing. You know, they showed the graphic about the difference in Indiana stats home and away. And obviously it's stark. This is a team that plays a lot better at home. And yet there aren't many teams in the country that have three road wins like Indiana does, at Xavier, at Illinois, and at Michigan. You know, those are three pretty good true road wins. So this team can win, you know, on the road. And obviously this game they'll have at home, you know, so hopefully they can come back and, you know, get a good crowd and get something going. I think Illinois is probably one of the more mercurial teams in the country. They have the talent to beat anybody. You know, you listen to national guys talk and they talk about who do you think is most likely to make the Final Four from the Big Ten? And Illinois still gets mentioned because they've got talent. They've got pieces. You know, they can do some different things, but they've also lost, you know, two out of their last three. They lost to Iowa and they got blitzed by Penn State, a feeling that we know well.
What's that like?
Yeah. Now, that led to a big turnaround for us. Let's hope that their turnaround is a little bit more delayed. We got to play at home after that game. They have to come on the road. So I think we all feel good, you know, about this team, you know, coming home. And so hopefully Indiana's ready to go. And most of all, hopefully we can get some of these role players and supporting guys into the act scoring-wise. I think that would be the biggest development and probably the biggest thing to watch. And it'll be interesting to see if Illinois decides to defend Trace a little differently because he absolutely dominated them. In the first matchup up there.
They didn't double until the second half.
Yeah, so by the way, we are not going to have Assembly Call Radio tomorrow night, but for those of you who are in our private community, we are going to do Banner Friday on Friday. So we'll have Mike DeCourcy and then our good friend John Gassaway, who writes for ESPN, an Illinois grad. He's going to come on and help us preview the Illinois game. So you'll get really good insight. John's awesome. So we'll talk about the Illinois game with him and lots of other stuff. So that'll be coming on Friday for those of you who are inside the private community. All right, Ryan, let's wrap it up here. It's only 9:24 where you are, but it's 11:24 where I am. It's time
Early, I can go out, you know.
Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. Use the promo code HOME to get 15% off your first order. Ryan, last call, over to you.
Yeah, I said it earlier, and I think the lesson here is don't get down 21 points on the road. I mean, it's simple as that. You know, when things aren't going well, you got to make adjustments. I think players have to make adjustments to the way they're playing. I think coaches have to make adjustments to what they're running. And if a team shows you they can guard what you're doing, you need to make adjustments and you need to go away from it. And I think that Indiana in the first half really played in Northwestern's hands. And it's disappointing because you knew exactly what Northwestern was going to do. You've seen it on film all year, and Indiana just kind of walked right into it, expecting things to be different. And it wasn't. And so credit to, again, I've repeated this, credit to the coaching staff and credit to the players for the way they responded in the second half. But I think those adjustments and those responses from the players need to come earlier. There needs to be a sense of urgency when things start to go bad to fix it and not wait till you get to the locker room to hash it out and then have to be sprinting towards the finish against the team you should beat. Northwestern's really good this year. They are. But man on man, Indiana's a better team even without Xavier Johnson. And Indiana, both of these games that has played against Northwestern should have won. And so it's a disappointment. That's not to say that what Northwestern isn't great, but Indiana's the second best team in the Big Ten. And we expected them to compete for a Big Ten title before the year. We should expect them to win games like this. And that's the expectation they have raised it to, too. It's not an unreasonable expectation. They put the expectations at that level by getting the players they have and by playing the way they have over the last 10 games, that they should win these games. And so you can respect the changes made and the effort in the second half and still be disappointed and say, hey, this is a game they should have won. And the one at home was a game they should have won. Doesn't take anything away from how good Northwestern is. They just took down Purdue. They've been a really good team this year. But Indiana should have won this game. And I think if you asked everybody on Indiana's team, they would say the same exact thing. And so the pattern has to be those adjustments need to come sooner. And the players need to adjust what they're doing sooner. It needs to be a sense of urgency to get that done when things go sideways. When you're down 10 in the first half, that's when they need to come, not when you're down 20 and walking into halftime. So again, you score 20 points in the first half. Clearly something was wrong that needs to be changed. And hopefully moving forward, they change it, because I think they're going to face this exact kind of defense. Not as good as Northwestern, but people are going to do the exact same thing moving forward and make Indiana beat them with it.
Yeah, well said. You know, look, this is going to sound weird because I think you're right. This is a game Indiana should have won. I think we all, you know, believe that. I think, and that's not necessarily take anything away from Northwestern. I do think Indiana, man for man, has more talented players. What Northwestern has done a really good job of, and all the credit to Chris Collins and to their guards, is they really maximize the talent that they have. You know, and they play a particular system that their guys are well suited for. They do it really well. And so, you know, so credit to them. And look, this is a game, you know, Ken Pom predicted Indiana to lose by one, and Indiana ends up losing by two. So it's not, you know, this is not your grandfather's loss at Northwestern. You know, this is a good team. You know, and I think to a certain extent, you know, what I was going to say is these are actually, when we do lose, this is what the losses should feel like, where there's a lot of warts and it's, you know, there's a lot of stuff to break down, but ultimately you were competitive until the end on the road against a good team. And I think the problem that we had earlier in the season is the losses didn't feel like that. Rutgers blew us out. Arizona blew us out. Kansas blew us out. Penn State blew us out. You know, where we're basically not even competitive. And so, you know, I think when you look in totality at what Indiana did on the road over these last two games, I think it's perfectly fair to walk away from it feeling, you know, okay, boy, that was a missed opportunity to get two of them. But I think overall, this team improved their road play. You know, they got down, they were able to come back, they stole one of them, they lost this one. But that's kind of what a good Big Ten team does, is you play a couple road games, you're competitive in both, and you win one. And so perfectly fair to be disappointed in the result of this particular game. But I think the worry that some of us have had is, oh man, we're going to have one of those bad losses. Is it going to send us into a tailspin? Because we've seen it too often in the last 5 or 6 years. That's not what happened. You know, this team rebounded from the Maryland loss to win those two big games at home, come back and steal one at Michigan, and then you lose this one. All right, I think we all would have taken 3 out of 4 in this stretch. So, you know, this is just kind of one. Let's put this one away. We've had our chance to talk about it, and now let's look forward to Illinois, because I don't think there's anything that happened tonight that makes me feel any less confident in our ability to come out, rebound at home, play well against Illinois. And then we got to go right back out on the road and try to steal one there at Michigan State and at Purdue.
It will be a very emotional game at Michigan State, by the way.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Absolutely. So, look, you know, a rough night for Indiana. Hopefully, we're able to get some other guys to step up. That's obviously the biggest development that can happen over these next few weeks, and hopefully we're able to reintegrate Xavier back. But disappointing result for Indiana. Disappointed in how they played in the first half. Proud of how they battled back. But most importantly, they went on the road twice and got one. And so now they got to come home, you know, get back on the winning track and get prepared to go back out on the road again for the last time and be able to steal one. So that's going to do it for us on this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com. to join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show, and special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo, and thank you for listening. We will be back to talk IU hoops again with you on Saturday after the Illinois game. Until then.
Take it from me, Robert Johnson. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers.
All right, I gotta get out of here, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
Here I come, Mrs. Tonsoni.
Somewhere, Coach is chasing Mrs. Tonsoni.
Hey, no, it seems like it's a down night at the Tonsoni household tonight. maybe a little muted response instead. Just, honey, not tonight.
Maybe.
All right.
Well,
let's beat Illinois. Feel better about this. Let's get to 10 wins.
Everything's fine. Beat Illinois. Everything is fine. Everything is fine.
I mean, look, if you lose
it's fine right now, honestly.
If you lose this by two and it's an even game throughout, you feel different about it. But it feels like a missed opportunity. It's, you know,
it does feel like it is.
You lose a close game, I would say that about the losses this year, other than the Penn State loss, it feels like, well, Rutgers, I think the first time, I think they got smoked. It was closer. I think that was closer than the score. Or was that the Rutgers game? The first Rutgers game was not closer than the score. I mean, the score was closer than it really was.
Yes.
But I would say Iowa missed opportunity. Both Northwestern games felt like missed opportunities. I mean, it's just getting over that hump, man. And the thing was, they had plenty of time to win this game too. It wasn't like they raced it and tied, and got it to two or inside five with 30 seconds left. Like, they had the opportunities for a while to make it closer and just kept fumbling it out. And I think some of that's fatigue. I think some of that's just execution, but they had chances, man. And they did not take advantage of them. So we'll see, man. We'll see where this goes. I mean, early games are always kind of dicey, but I think they should beat Illinois. I think Illinois is going to double trace from the jump this time, because they didn't the first time and he just annihilated them. But it's gonna be on. But our guys shoot better at home. Let's hope they're warm for a noon tip. And get knocked down some shots. I think Trey Galloway is gonna be big in that game.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Let's come back, get a win.
Yep. Need to do it. All right,
y'all. We will see you guys inside the community. Someone asked if the private community is like OnlyFans. That's not really something we've explored.
Far less nudity.
We clearly do have the talent in our group between me and Coach Adranya and Coach Tonsoni to make it OnlyFans style. So if you guys are willing to pay for that kind of content, we may start creating it.
By talent.
So, something to think about.
What are you referring to?
Just how we would.
Stop. Let's end this right now.
We haven't done AC After Dark for a while.
Yeah, veering into AC After Dark, and it's not after an AC radio. We'll save this for then. But we're gonna revisit this, Morris.
Okay. Just in our OnlyFan strategy.
Yes.
Yeah. take requests. We can put a lot of interesting stuff behind the paywall, Ryan. A lot of interesting stuff. X's and O's type stuff.
Well, whenever I drop any information in the paywall, it always finds its way behind the paywall, always finds its way out. And it's like, it's supposed to stay here, guys.
No, the information in the community stays in there. It's when you drop it in the live chat that is public that it gets out.
No, I've dropped some stuff in the community before that I find elsewhere. And I'm like, guys, that was just for you. But apparently some of you belong to multiple sites and are spreading this around. So bad. No more inside information.
All right, y'all. All right, have a good one. Yep. We'll see y'all.